Well, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful fellowship place we got here. Thank you for our church, I guess is what you would call it. Some people would. But Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together with the brothers and sisters and just have a good time talking about you, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I forbid any hindrance from anybody trying to get on here and be a part of this fellowship tonight, in Jesus' name. And I bind up any kind of action trying to kick them off of it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, we're going to have an awesome time tonight because we're going to be led by your spirit. When we're led by your spirit, it's always a good time. Thank you, Father, for allowing us this opportunity to greet and meet all of these wonderful folks, Lord, and to pray together. And Father, we just ask that you guide us and lead us tonight. Give us wisdom and discernment, all of us, into the things of you, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful time you've gotten us in. We're learning so much more just in the last couple of months, few months, Lord. We thank you for bringing these new revelations forward. For we won't have to, we're not going to tie you up in a box anywhere. We're going to turn you loose in our life, in a way. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everybody here tonight understands that God is not tied up in a box. He's not in our back pocket. He's not in our front pocket. He's nowhere, but he's on the throne. And he always, always answers our prayers because we have faith to believe that when we pray, that we're going to receive what we pray. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Or a prayer? Or a testimony? Yeah, Patrick.
So I just want to pray for I'm not quite sure. I guess I want to pray for us, me and us. That us can mean, I think, anybody who is, you know, listening or whatever, who is seeking the Lord with their whole heart. Their desire is to know the fullness of Jesus, to live in that hundredfold faith that we've been purchased for, that we've been created to live in. So, Father, I just come to you, I ask you, Lord, that you would open up our eyes to see the full, absolute, full, hundredfold benefit that you have provided for us in Christ. And Lord, just give us a desire to seek you with our whole heart, but to also be willing to apply these things that you're showing us, Lord. I believe each and every one of us, you're leading us in areas that we haven't experienced before, that we haven't thought about before. And Lord, you're raising our awareness and raising our desire. And I think about the people, you know, father of our faith, Abraham. The Lord, as far as I know, he didn't have a Bible. He walked, learned to walk, listening to the voice of the Lord. But, and Enoch and all of the various different saints before, you know, before the new covenant relationship, even they walked with you, learning to listen to your voice and obey you and walk in the steps that you've led them into. And Lord, they found you to be their supply in every need. You've taught them and did show them how to trust in you and call out for you, receive from you great and mighty things that they couldn't physically accomplish themselves, but you brought that forth in their lives, Lord. And Lord, you've called us in these last days to do exactly the same thing. Yet Peter said we have a more sure word of prophecy in the scripture that we can always use as our anchor, that is there for our anchor. And Lord, you're teaching us to rest in that anchor, but also to learn to listen to your voice and learn to walk with you. And Father, I just ask that you would give me wisdom to see the various things that you're showing us and to understand, Lord. And I know that you've taught me personally that understanding really comes through the process of doing, applying your word to our lives and walk in it. And as we walk, we start to understand your perspective more through the process. We understand the cause and effect relationships of your word on the circumstances of our life, and see that, Lord, even though these things sometimes appear to be miracles, it's just us learning to walk in that higher jurisdiction as sons of God. And so, Father, I just ask that you would give us grace to continue on, give us patience to persevere until we receive. And Lord, I pray this for myself as well, Lord, to persevere and to expect the victory, to learn how to look in that mirror of the word of life and see Jesus and fully apply that through our confession and through praise and worship and praising you and giving you thanks in the midst of our problems or circumstances or whatever that we're facing, Lord. And through this process, you teach us, you guide us, and you help us to grasp on to the relationship, the fellowship, and the relationship that you have created us to be as sons of God in this time and in these days, Lord. Thank you for the exciting things that you're showing us, Lord, these things of late, and I ask that you would just give me grace and give us all grace to apply these things to our normal lives, our daily, day-to-day situations in life. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that you haven't left us comfortless in this process. You're guiding us through this thing one step at a time. I thank you for the guidance that you give us through the angels and the scripture and the Holy Spirit speaking into our heart. And Lord, we have so many benefits and so many resources in you, your word, always there to guide us and to protect us and to nudge us on. And so, Lord, we just ask even tonight that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Grant us grace to see past the earthly and into the heavenly tonight. And I thank you for it. And I just bless your name and praise you. And thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in my life. Thank you for the healings that you have brought forth in my life and my body, in my mind, in my soul. And Lord, I just thank you that it is done. All these promises, all these provisions are done in Christ. And I thank you for it. Just bless your name in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pat. All right. I see some new people in here. All right, Geneva, what's going on, girl?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
See if I can stay here.
Yeah.
I apologize. I look a little rough.
That's okay. We understand.
Just had a baby.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord for that. So,
you look beautiful, girl.
Oh, thank you. I believe it in faith.
Amen.
But so it, well, I'll show you. He's right here. There he is, sleeping. This is
Matthias.
This is Matthias, and we chose that name because it means gift of God. So we like that, and
he's pretty. He looks like you.
You think so?
Yes.
I just see Morgan right now, but trying to think how to. So I went 5 days over, and my due date was July the 21st, and I'd been thinking this whole time like I'd maybe have them a little sooner just because it was my second, but you know, the Lord likes to give us those faith trials. So I was, you know, 21st came and we'd been walking. Yeah, hi Micah, go over there for a second, okay?
Hello?
No, sorry.
That's okay.
But so, you know, I'd been praying and stuff, and so we'd been walking and doing all the things, you know, like drinking the raspberry tea and all the stuff that they say to help induce labor. And you know, three, 4 days went by, and it seemed like the last 2 weeks before I had him, it's like Satan really tried to just put so much fear over me. And he was just telling me terrible things, like, you know, it's, stuff was going to go wrong and this and that. And it was just a constant, like, mind battle. And I just had to keep casting down, you know, those vain imaginations and getting in my word and rebuking it. And, you know, it just, it felt like it was constant. And I was also just so physically tired. I mean, we'd go out and we'd walk like 2-3 miles a day. And I, you know, I just kind of felt like, man, like, Lord, like, please, because, you know, with Micah, hers was such a huge testimony too, but at the same time, it took her like 10 days to come past her. She came 10 days past her due date. And then it took like 3 days just to get her out. And, you know, Lord was with me through that. And whew, that was rough. But God is good. And, I just didn't want it to go. I was nervous because I was going over again that, man, is it going to be like, where I stall out again, you know, all these things. And Morgan, praise the Lord for strong husbands. Morgan was like, no, Geneva. He was like, it's going to go good. He's like, it's going to be fast. He was like, and your recovery is going to be awesome. He was like, and we're just going to keep believing it. And he would tell me that time and time and time again. And even when I was struggling, you know, in my faith. And so, anyways, you know, I had Julie praying, and I appreciate all your guys' prayers. You know, it means a lot, especially when you're in moments of weakness. So, I ended up, what was it? Last Thursday at, like I could tell something was going on. Like I was getting all the signs that labor was starting, and, I just kept praying and praying, and there was one point I was just sitting in the bathtub and I was just crying. I was like, Lord, please, like, I don't want to get induced. And my midwife said, you know, if I'd went any longer, like, it was going to be like another 2 or 3 days, like, I would have to get induced. And I didn't want to go through that. You know, I didn't want to have Pitocin because that's what they give you. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I didn't want that. Like, I knew the Lord was going to do it. And I was just praying and I was like, Lord, like, just please start the process. And so 2 o'clock comes around that Thursday, and all of a sudden I start to feel something, you know, and I'm like, is that what I think it is? It's been 2 years. So I kind of forgot what contractions felt like. And so and everyone was, y'all were praying, y'all were saying, the baby's gonna come today, the baby's gonna come today. But last time with Mike, I didn't start contractions until like the middle of the night. So for me, in the middle of the day, it seemed kind of odd. But stuff started happening, and so I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna go for a walk. And then after that, it just picked up, and it was like the next thing I know, I get done walking, and it's just like we're now moving through the motions. And
Howard.
hold on, Mike, I'm on the phone, okay? Go over there. Go over there. Shh, hold on. So we're just going through the motions, and I get like, hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me put you on mute real quick, because there she is. So Morgan, can you get Micah real quick? So anyways, like things are going really fast, and I'm now like starting to be like, okay, like wow, this is moving quick. And I didn't know. I was like, well, is it time to go to the hospital? Like, is it, what are we doing here? And, cause my midwife she's through the hospital, but she's still like natural. So I prayed about it, and I was like, okay, like I'm looking at my contractions and they're like 8 minutes apart. And so I was like, that seems really fast, but I was like, let's just go on and do it. And so me and Morgan, we went to the hospital, and we're in the waiting room, and the next thing I know, like I'm just feeling stuff. And it was just crazy how fast everything went. Like the nurse checked me, and she was like, man, she was like, you were just at 3, but now you're at 5. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this is completely opposite for Micah's. Like, Micah's was so slow. Like, I couldn't dilate for some reason. But long story short, you know, they hurry up and get me into the labor room, and Morgan's helping me, and his mom's there, and you know, I'm in labor, and then my water breaks. And last time that didn't happen either. You know, last time they had to break my water. And so everything is just happening naturally. Like I'm now into active labor, and you know, I reach a moment of weakness, and it's the pain is pretty rough, and I was crying. And I just told him, I was like, okay, I was like, you know, I'm gonna get the epidural. You know, this is too hard. And so they go to give it to me, and it barely has any time to catch up, because they're like, you're now at 9, and you know, you get to 10 and then you have a baby. And so basically, the epidural didn't even have time to catch up with my body, because I was about to have this baby. And I'm sitting there, and I'm crying, and I'm crying, and I just start crying out to Jesus. And I said, sorry, I just get a little emotional because the Lord is so good. And I told him, I was like, I can't take the pain. I was like, it's too hard. And they were all telling me, they're like, yes, you can. They're like, you can do it. And I just cried and I said, Lord, please. And right then, that's when the doctor walked in, and she was like, okay, we're about to have this baby. And God gave me so much strength, and I just started pushing. And the next thing I know, within like not even like 5, 7 minutes, he just flies right out. And I just started throwing my hands up and screaming Jesus, and I started praising the Lord, and I was just saying, like, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, like praise Jesus. And you know, Morgan's mom was crying, and the nurses were real sweet. And I just, you know, I always wanted to have a natural birth, and I labored naturally for so long with Micah. And you know, that was just so hard. And it's like the whole 9 months, it's just like a It's like a spiritual mind battle, you know, just continue to claim and believe and, you know that the Lord's going to do it. And then you get in those moments, you know, and it's like when you reach the point where you just can't, that's when Jesus steps in and he says, you know, I can, and he does it. And that's, you know, even when medicine failed me and the staff failed me and they were telling me like, we can't do anything about it. You know, like you're going too fast. Like the Lord took over and just did it. And I really thought there for a second, I was like, I don't, you know, I can't, but Jesus can. And he heard me, and, you know, Isaac told me that. He said, and he said, you know, don't be afraid to cry out to Jesus. He's like, he's going to hear you. And I was just so thankful. Like when they showed me the epidural, like there was like none used at all. So I was like, yeah, I felt the whole thing. But didn't even make it to my feet. But anyways, like I'm just so grateful, you know, for the Lord and for the, even for the hospital staff. Like my labor nurse, she was a Christian, and she said she was praying for me the whole time, and she was real sweet, and she was great. And the nurse or the doctor did a good job too. And I'm just thankful for that, you know, because sometimes that stuff can be kind of scary. And it's just so much easier to trust the Lord. But anyways, I'm extremely thankful for my experience this time around, and that the Lord definitely heard Morgan's prayer. We had him within, like, from start to end, like basically 7 hours. So completely different than 3 days. So you know, I just praise the Lord for that. And I couldn't believe it, like when they took us to the, you know, mother baby room where you're resting and all that, once you have the baby, I was just holding him and I just couldn't believe. I was like, man, like God heard every one of my prayers. Like he came fast. You know, early labor wasn't even really that bad, not until it hit active labor. And, you know, he's perfect. And even my recovery, like, they didn't have to do anything. They were like, no, they're like, you're good. And they're like, we don't have to do anything. And it's like, Lord, you know, he did all of that. And it just, there's no other way to explain it. So I'm just, you know, Jesus is good, and he's long suffering with us, even in our weakness. And, anyways, he's just so precious, and he's a little chunker. But, so I do want to ask for prayer though, you know, cause they have to do like their test and things like that. But anyways, they said that he failed his hearing test, but I know that's not right. Like, I mean, it's a newborn baby. So, you know, they're going to have fluids and stuff in their ears. That's normal. So I just believe in Jesus' name that his hearing is perfect. And, you know, there ain't no issues with this baby.
Hold it up there. I'm going to spotlight you. Ah, look at that boy sleeping like a baby. Hey, Matthias. Hey, buddy. We bless you in the name of Jesus. There is no problems with your hearing. You have a perfectly perfect body. There's everything is normal in Jesus' name. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you for your blessing upon him. Thank you, Father. And Mama, too. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Matthias and Geneva. Glory be to God. That's awesome. Let's see if I can undo that.
But thank you guys for your prayers. And yeah, I think he looks like Morgan, too. I think he's Morgan's little twin. I'm hoping that he has green eyes, though. That's the one thing I asked for, green eyes. But anyways, just thank you guys for all your prayers. And, you know, I just so thankful. Like I said, night and day experience. you know, it's just a huge testimony. And it's pretty awesome, like, that I still got to have him naturally, even when I thought, you know, it wasn't going to happen. The Lord was like, nope. It's happening. So, anyways, just thank the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you, Geneva, for giving us this treat tonight. It's awesome. That is awesome. Lord, we just send a great big hug to Geneva and Matthias and Morgan and Micah and all of them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Bless that baby with all my sleeping, too. Amen. Oh, anybody want to pray? Anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got a testimony? Anybody got a song? I got a song if y'all want to hear it. Okay. Benjamin, can you hear me? No, he can't hear me. He got his ears off. Can y'all hear me? Am I all right? No delay either, is there? No, ain't no delay. All right, let's listen to some good music. What do you think?
I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back, 'cause this means war.
That was a good one. Coming up next, too, is Nicole Mullins and that big song she had. All right. Hey, Josephus, what's up, dude? I see you got Trisha tonight. That's awesome. Trisha's always good.
Always, always, always. But light is better. The light of the Lord is better.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Praise you, Lord. And the light of Him inside of us is even better still. Glory to God.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? All right. Bonita, yay. Go ahead, Bonita. One of four dots.
I just didn't want to go right after Geneva because that was just awesome. Doesn't seem worthwhile. We're home now, though. Frank and I are home, and he's doing great. If anybody didn't know, we were in the hospital. Frank had had a little episode, but he is back on his feet, and he's doing great, and we're home, and that's just lots of blessings along the way. Some things got shared that needed to be shared, and curses removed, and things are going to be moving forward without that curse, and that's just going to be awesome. So, just amazing how Lord works. It really is. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for full healing, complete healing, in Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got any questions about what we talked about Thursday night? Timeline. And did you listen to, Thursday night, Tuesday night? I knew that. I'm just checking y'all. Let me think here just a minute. Did everybody listen to David's recording Wednesday? Okay. Has anybody got any questions about what David talked about? Because I'd like to talk about it tonight if anybody's a little bit doesn't know if, having trouble understanding and believing. Yeah, Andrew. It's that little button down on the left-hand corner. It looks like a microphone.
Oh, yeah. Hello. I guess everyone can hear us.
Yes.
That's good. I have a question about hope. Okay. But this is someone else's hope. Okay. And it's a question. I've been kind of a little bit struggling with this because I was trying to apply this to things that I know. So it's in Romans chapter 8, and it's 8 and 20. For the creation was subject to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of God, who subjected it in hope, that particular hope there. And down in the next verse, it says that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty or freedom of the glory of the children of God. This is the ASV. And I think maybe I want to go to the NENT. And it says something there. It says that the children, that the creation itself shall be free from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So this is God's hope And if you go back up to 19, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation awaited the revelation of the sons of God. So this earnest expectation is God's hope, God's expectation, or is it our, or is it both? So if we get into God's hope, in because God's hoping for all of this creation to see that they're a bunch of vanity people. They're a bunch of people that don't think God's word is important. And when they come out of that, I guess it's by God who does it, because he's going to reveal to them to repent. So in 8 and 25, it says something about hope. But 24, it says, for in hope were we saved. But is that God's hope? So that's my question. Is that God's hope? Is this hope the hope line of time change for us? You get my question?
Yeah, I understand. What does hope mean?
Well, hope is an expectation of something that comes. But in that 20th verse, you know, that was God's hope. You know, and the assured expectation, when we step into God's hope, is that the hope we're supposed to have? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, and we're supposed to have God's faith. Aren't we supposed to have God's hope also? I guess that's the way I should put it. Because if you have God's hope, you have God's, what God wants to hope for, then you have what he lovingly wants to give us.
Well, why don't you form your question a little bit different?
Well, I just
are
want
you
to
saying,
know,
are you asking if hope and faith are the same thing?
No. I want to know if you jump into God's hope, that that's a timeline.
Ah.
If faith is what saves you, yes. Okay, now, I just studied the timeline. God led me to chapter 17 of John, which is the Lord's Prayer for us if we're going to be reading the Bible and attaining to the same salvation. And it says there in John 17, 23, a verse you brought up yesterday, Michael. 17 and 23.
And look, let's do something. You're jumping. You're going real fast here, and it's hard to keep up with you. I'm still back here in Romans trying to figure out your question.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so, let's go ahead and go over that, because I think you missed something there, but go ahead.
I'll go back to 8. Because 8 and 20, there's God's hope subjected it in hope. God subjected it in hope. He has subjected all the creation to realize that they were a bunch of vanity people, a bunch of people who want to make vanity. Vanity is, of course, the fornication, because it says God's word has no meaning. But there are some people that follow on into God's hope here, God's expectation for them, that the creation itself also shall be free from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And that's a timeline. But then down in 24, it says, for in hope were we saved. So that has to be God's hope, God's expectation of the creation. Of course, he sovereignly leads them into it. So, for in hope were we saved, but hope seen is not hope. For who hopeth for what he seeth? And of course, seeing is supposed to be translated as faith, because we all with an unveiled face. Behold is really another form of faith, because it's not by sight, but by faith. So we're not calling it blind faith like the people who don't know what they're talking about. It's faith sight. And we're seeing this because God gives us the ability to see it, I guess. And because have God's faith. He destroyed a fig tree to have that, you know. And then he comes up with our verses there in 11:23 and 24. Have God's faith. If we have, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one. But if we love God, they both abide in us. If we keep his love, we keep his word. If any love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode in him. So we know that the Lord and Father abides in us. And we know that Christ abides in us because of the love. So I guess my question is just that. Is this hope 8 and 20 and 8 and 21? That's a new timeline for us all. And it just works so cool with the prayer that Jesus said in John 17. That was a verse you brought up in 17:23 of John, where it has the detail how much God loves us because of who lives in us now. With the love that you have for me, you will have that love for them. So that's a timeline of love. Because it's agapeo, and that's he wants to give us his agape. So that's just kind of cool the way that happened. Mm-hmm. So his love, which never fails, according to the love chapter, is that a timeline? Is if you're in love, the agape style, then you never fail. And it is finished. So I don't know what I'm saying here, but it sounds like it's all a timeline to have that hope God has. Because he makes his hope happens with God, because he's creating. And it's his love that did it, for God so loved the world. So we can't judge anybody, because that's the next verse. We know the wisdom of salvation, and we have to save other people. Right? And that's, we're stepping into 3:17. Not that I come into the world to judge the world, I come not to judge, but to save. A lot of people might be judging some people nowadays because of there's just so much of it, you know, there's anger about things in the news nowadays that has to do with the ceremonies in the Olympics. We can't judge those people because they're not saved. I just want to reiterate that it's so simple and easy to lose yourself, and then you'll find yourself repenting before God because of all the temptations that come upon you. And you don't want to step into something. You climb the mountain, Jesus to get to the top. And we don't want to go tobogganing. Okay. We already did our tobogganing when we came down the other mountain, the mountain of Mystery Babylon. So we want to climb the mountain and have the kingdom always within us. Find, just don't leave Jerusalem. That's all. And Jerusalem's on the top of the mountain. Jesus is the mountain. So we're not supposed to leave Jerusalem. We're supposed to continue climbing to go through the door. But aren't we already through the door? Anyway, I guess we look forward to a lot more than what we already have now. So I'm just really touched. Just touched yesterday with the wonderful message that was done today, how they sort of collated together. And I'm just touched about this new timeline because I can see how it's kind of subjected, like if you get a cut on your hand or if you bang your hand in the kitchen because you did something wrong, or if you get clunked in the head with the kitchen cabinet door, you get a different timeline there when you're praying pretty fast, yeah. And you want the pain to go away, and you get or you get that tickling in your throat, and you pray for that to go away. It's a different. It's localized, I guess, you know, because you don't want to get. And this serpent that's trying to give you a snake bite in your head, you know, it's you got to use the timeline to get rid of that snake bite, you know, all those little areas around the head here where the attacks you. If you step out of it, you know, because we have the verse for that. We have the Luke 10:19-20 and the 2 Corinthians 10:5. So we swing our sword. But that's in a question in itself now. How does that sword swing put you in that different timeline? Or, you know, the question I asked before we left, the dreams, you know, how they put you in the timeline too. There's just so much to it. And of course, when you're going to talk about the physics of it there, you lost me. And that's why I have to look at Mark 11:23-24 so that you can you don't go try to toss a mountain around, you know, because mountains are pretty big, you know, and you don't want to play catch with a mountain, so don't pour it off onto someone else, because we pray down these mountains corporately and individually. So I just pray that the Lord look after us, that he would continue us on this wonderful journey through our wilderness in the new timeline. Praise and glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for all of this is finished and already done. We have to catch up, and some of us are caught up to the throne. This would be really great. Anyway, Father God, to walk in that throne place with you in us, because we know by your word, and all I need is 2 witnesses, that you dwell in us, because it's one God and Father who's over all, in all, and through all. And I'm gesturing with my hand that he comes through your mouth, through your being, through your fingers and everything. And it's also, know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord? And God saith that I will dwell in them and walk. And he walked with Adam too, you know. So, and we're supposed to have the last Adam's spirit. So we walk with God as long as we put our feet in his footsteps. Anyway, that's a timeline for sure. You know, I just want to, there's just so many verses. And I guess that's how the sword swing works. I don't know. Am I like a three fries short of a happy meal here? Because, you know, I'm supposed to be happy.
No, you're right on.
Happy is all those blessings, you know? So in Matthew chapter 5, you know? So, okay, that's all I can say, you know. I just want to walk, you know, and living is the word of God, and acting, walking is acting. Walking in love, walking in truth, walking in the light, you know, walking in Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in Colossians chapter 2. I think it's 6 or something. Yeah, 2 and 6, I think it is. And now God's walking in us. We're walking with God. That's 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And there's the other ones, you know, because you got to sit on the throne. And there's the sanctuary on the right hand, because you're supposed to imitate God and walk in love. So we have to obey that we're in the sanctuary, unless you're a bunch of goats. We're sheep, so we got to walk in God. So, you know, I sure hope he takes some baby steps, because I got to catch up to him. You know, he's pretty far ahead of me, and he knows how to stride better. And I'm sure he'll walk with us in a way that we could take him. Right? I mean, he does love us. 17:23 says so of John. So if you just open the Revelation to me on that, I just want all these verses written off the ink and in my heart. And it's not my heart anyway. I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my heart. So the love never fails. So I've got to walk in that love. And I just pray that all for all of us, that we know how to walk this love route, and that we would always be on the love route, and to walk in the truth. Root also, which is to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to save to the uttermost those who draw nigh unto him through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I have another question. The intercession. Okay, now we have someone in us. So who's really making the intercession? You know, in 7:25 of Hebrews, we have what I just said, the verse there. He's able to save to the uttermost, and that draw nigh unto God. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. But where is he living? And the word's living. You know, the righteous shall live by faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. So, and Jesus Christ is the word of God. So living is the word of God and active. So where is it active, people? Who's making the intercession here? Christ in you? You have his intercession, right? So I'm not getting confused here. I'm just reiterating all the words that God told me that I have. You know, I don't know all the verses formalized yet, but I got pieces of them. You know, we're supposed to have God's petition. Well, who do you think gives it to us? I just told you who lived in you and who walks in you, and how you walk in Jesus Christ and you walk in the Lord God the Father, and you love him. If any love me, he'll keep my words. It's just exciting, and this this reality of this vessel is in some sort of time field here for God to walk in, for God to lead me, for this new timeline I'm supposed to be in. So praise God, glory to God. And I pray God as this localized thing, whether it's a small thing here or a cut on your hand or whatever it is, that it would come to pass, or for things outside of this vessel. That's another thing I'd like someone else to maybe speak on how you have faith for things outside of you. You know, like you tend to focus on getting rid of everything that's in you, but what about loved ones and stuff like that? Praying for things that are in need of repair or something. You know? I guess it's just handled in those verses there, 11:23 and 11:24 of Mark. So praise and glory to God. I just speak in my mind here. I had the question. I just wanted to know about that hope. This is God's hope we have to step into, or is God giving us the hope, his hope? Not my will, but your will, Father. See, Father has a hope too. He's got to have an expectation for us. And he's telling us his expectation in his word. So, you know, the 19th verse, you know, it says something about the sons of God in the same Romans chapter 8. And I think that's a man-child verse. So, just wondering. Again, you know, saying it all and living it is something else too, because God's sovereign and he loves us the same way he wants to share his love with his son Jesus. Now he's sharing it with us because of that verse there. So it's really spectacular. All I was looking at is Romans 8. 20, 21, 24, then I went back up to 19, and then I was way over there with the Lord's Prayer as in Mark, John 17, and of course, the timeline verses of Mark 11, 23, and 24. So, I don't know if these guys are familiar with the verses. I'm just trying to remember them all myself. Got a pretty good idea. I've used some of these verses in the past, even before I came from UVM, and I've had success with them. So praise and glory to God. And I just if God's giving us his love in our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and strength is also the light of God, his lamp, then I can just safely say, to sovereignty of God, that my much speaking here was to love you guys, and I just gotta leave it there. Praise and glory to God for it. Amen.
Amen. Every time that we believe in faith, we're believing in the timeline of faith. That is our great expectation. And that's something that God has placed in us. It's the great expectation that what his promises says are true. And that keeps us in the right timeline. As David so eloquently said and showed us when he was talking about over in the missionaries. We had two sets of timelines. We had the one that was believing. We had the one that was not believing. Same person, believing and not believing. And we kept rebuking the one that was not believing. They kept praising the one that was believing. And finally, the one that wasn't believing, same person. It was just his flesh. And the spirit man in the other one was believing and holding to that faith. He got blessed. And the other one just went away. He died to the flesh. Go ahead, Andrew.
So in the NENT of Romans 8 and 21, they didn't want the freedom? Because it says there in 8.
Yeah.
That the creation itself shall be freed from the bondage of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God.
What's the bondage of corruption?
Well, Peter said we're incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading. And plus, he also said there that we got some promises to whereby he had granted unto us the exceedingly great and precious promises to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And of course, the corruption is all those negative fruits right. of the flesh in Galatia chapter 5.
And what you confess also.
And what you can, while you confess Christ, you're supposed to be confessing in accordance That's to right. 1 Peter 4:11, the oracles of God. And if you're going to minister, you have to minister according to the strength of God. And the yep. strength of God is a light in you. So according to the new candelabra in your temple. And who's in your temple? Who's showing? Someone's got to light the way. And he's a light. He's a great light in Genesis. Because he said, it wasn't the sun, moon, and stars. He wanted to see what he was making in the creation. And he's still seeing what he's making in the creation of Ephesians 2:10. You know, it is God. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So, upon good works, which God afore prepared, that we should walk. And we want to walk in goodness. And you know what? Jesus said something about who's good. There's only one that's good, God. And God has to be walking in us, according to 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. I don't know. You put up your sword. We'll sharpen each other's sword here. That's why we have fellowship. You know, we could be kids about this and we can all go get swords. There wouldn't be swords. But, you know, I don't think they get sharp too much. And I just pray that the Lord would make us this epistle known and read of all men. Because, you know, I said the word grace once and I got big trouble for it. I was attacked, and it wasn't even in context with God or the Bible for Jesus. She just knew. And I just pray that the Lord would give us this word in our hearts, that it be written upon the hearts by the Spirit of God and not with ink on a piece of paper or engraved in stone. After all, he's giving me what? The love that he gave Jesus. Agape style. So I just reminded you that love never fails and it is finished. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I don't know if it's just the simplicity on how I'm looking at this or whatever. I pray that the Lord get it all down in us the way he wants it in us. Because there's no other way. We know who the way is. We know the way and the truth and the light. So I'm going to stop talking, and I just want to be more active. Okay, I want living is the word of God. I'm active because I know for a fact that God's going to magnify his word above his name. So a lot of people who are in the name of Jesus. And there's a lot of name there in Matthew 24, fine, but they don't make it. And there's a deceiver there. And we have to be in his namesake, and the namesake we're in is in his name. He has given. I have in chapter 17 the prayer. You know, this is Jesus' prayer. And you guys taught me that you have to be in agreement with your his prayer of chapter 7. And he taught us his name right there in the very last verse. So he gave us his name. He gave us his glory. He gave us love. He gave us the ability to understand that he was sent by God so that he could live in us. And we have to live now according to his love and truth that he has. So praise and glory to God. And that was hard for me to say. You know, I still want to manifest this and shine for God because I'm a child of light. We don't want to be too soon to trim our lips. You know, we're the wise guys, not the foolish ones. So we're the sheep, we're not the goats. And those 10 virgins is right after the end time thing he told me. So there's got to be something to that. And you're not going to have to go here or over there, or he's in the wilderness over there, you know, because it warns you there. He told you before it happens. So where is he if he's not out there or over here? But you know the answer to that because it's in the verses that God told you. Praise God.
Amen. I'd like to talk about that a little bit later. Go ahead, Pat.
So I guess I was having part of the problems. I haven't listened to all of the message. You know, I did catch a bit of it. So for me, understanding, you know, what David was talking about related to the timelines, I haven't made the connections yet, but, and so the application and how to apply that, it's not clear in my mind yet, but it will be. But just jumping back on what, so I still have to think about that and, you know, pray about that and ask the Lord for understanding his perspective in that. The original, I guess, question that Andrew Haddon was talking about in 8:19 and 8:21 of Romans. I've always believed, or maybe I've grown to believe it, that that the Lord created us, when he created us on the sixth day of creation, he put within all those that are called that expectation that only he can put in a person, that is the and in that calling is also the vision for what he has created us to be. The blueprint is already has already been laid. He already created that, created each and every one of us and put that calling within us on that, sixth day of creation. And so that in and of itself is a timeline. And then he knew that the only way to bring into manifestation or to fulfill that, that calling as sons and bring forth sons of his, he was going to have to put them through this creation that was, that fell into corruption, and that, these sons, would have to be placed in that system of corruption and, be brought through that by hope, by expectation, by following that, the desire that resulted in that, vision or that, calling, that he created within each and every one of us who have responded to God and his calling. And it is through that hope, you know, he says, for the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the revealing of the sons of God. He birthed us into this earthly realm in order to, and this realm of the fallen, that we might go through the process of overcoming, learning to overcome, number one, come to a point in our life where we respond to that calling that he created within us, and we respond to him through Jesus. That then sets the, shall we say, sets the timeline in motion, removes it from the total hope, total expectation, over to the practical, I guess, working of that out. So, I guess in one sense, I'm thinking that number one, this timeline that we are on was established the sixth day of creation, or was created the sixth day of creation, and is being fulfilled and walked out in this application in each of our lives as we walk these out, walk this process out with the Lord. The creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope. And he placed us, or subjected us, into this system with that hope within us, even though it was dormant most of our life, but then brought to life in Jesus when we received Christ, we discovered the Lord. But the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. And it's interesting that even in that verse, he says that the creation, this corrupted creation, will be delivered from that bondage into the liberty of the glory of the children of God, not the sons, but the children of God. Which, you know, I'm thinking about, I could see that the deliverance you would think would be through the sons of God who are learning to apply these truths and function in that new fullness of that timeline God has provided or created us in. But this is talking about that the system will be delivered by the children of God, the glory of the children of God. So I'm not sure how that the connection is there, how that works. So, I'm just kind of going off of what, Andrew was talking about related to that. I guess the thing that I was thinking through the process is that, because I'm going to be quite frank, I'm not clear on the timelines and I haven't really seen it work out that I am aware of. Maybe it's working in my life all the time and I'm just not aware of its functioning. So I'll just give up the floor and let someone else talk here about it. But I believe that this expectation that is being talked about in 19 was that expectation, or is that expectation, that was created in us before we were even manifested in the earth, born into the earth. So. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Okay. Anybody else? Not you.
Isn't it like believing, just, you know, believing as you have believed, be it done unto you? I was trying to think of that. It's Matthew said to the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. It's how you believe. What timeline are you in? I guess what I've been learning is like, if I'm going to speak against my prayers and say I'm not feeling well when I've asked for prayer and confessing the bad report, as opposed to I feel complete and whole and healthy and strong and all these things, because that's how I prayed, that's how I believe. Whereas the other timeline would be like the negative timeline. You're speaking curses on yourself and you're making your, I would be making my prayer null and void by speaking, I don't feel good, you know. You know, be it done as you have believed and go and act on it. It almost just be, you know, walk it out. That's what the Lord's been telling me. Walk out your faith. Walk it out.
That's doesn't matter how long it is. Expectation.
Yeah. A firm expectation. It's firm. It's solid. It's yeah.
And that's what he's pushed in us. That's like Pat was talking about. He's placed that in his new creation. It's that great expectation, or that firm expectation, that what he says in his word, he's going to fulfill. All we have to do is endure in that to see it manifested. and believe that it has already manifested and confess it with your mouth. It's when you start, like Judy said, when you start confessing, well, God hadn't done anything. I prayed 5 minutes ago and bless God, I ain't seen nothing yet. You know, that's when you start falling off into the wrong timeline. That's the wrong timeline. The right timeline is keep on confessing, keep on confessing, keep on confessing. He said, where is it? First Peter, to speak as an oracle of God. Okay, Andrew's got it.
4:11, and it's yeah. Also the ministering according to the strength of God.
Yeah, amen. So that's what he wants us to do. That's how we're supposed to walk. We're supposed to speak as an oracle of God. It's written, Satan, bless God, I'm healed. Jesus said in Isaiah 53:3-5, he took all that on him. I don't have to sit here to put up with it anymore, so you got to go. And that's the attitude that is calling for that. That is that great expectation. You know your rights in God. You're going to stay on that right timeline. And that's exactly what Pat was talking about. Once you're, when you are holding in faith, you're in the right timeline. And you can take something that's in the bad timeline and put it in the good timeline. As David talked about. Did he put the transcript up for Wednesday's? Okay. I would suggest that you take that transcript, print it out, and read it over and over. Until you get a hang or you get a understanding of this timeline and quantum faith. Listen, faith of the Bible, quantum faith, and timeline all work together for the same results. It's the same thing. And it sounds new to us, and it is new, but it works the same way as faith. The same way, just to put it in simple terms. Come on, Jenny.
What was I going to say? It was just reminded me of a testimony that David shared. And I don't know if it was in the Real Good News or one of the audios somewhere about how there was a couple somewhere. She was very, very sick. And they had prayed for her and stuff. And then they started listening. And I don't know what her status was, if she was getting better or whatever, but they kept confessing the good report. Well, then they had this thought, well, maybe we're just being too selfish and we should not believe God for this or something like that. Maybe I can't remember how it went, but as soon as they gave up their faith and went and said stuff like that, She died because they started, you know, and then they told David, I think, you know, it was our faith. It was the only thing that was keeping her here. And I'm like, faith is what, you know, faith is power, you know, Jesus, God spoke the whole world into existence. Faith.
Amen.
Spoke it.
As opposed to that story, Julie, remember I told you the story about the lady that had, that her husband died according to the doctors and the nurses, but she said, no, Jesus promised me household salvation. He's my husband. He's not saved. He's not dead.
Not yet. He died.
Yeah.
He can't die yet. He's saved.
He didn't die. And the Lord reversed time, brought the man back to life the next morning. He got up and she said, honey, what you want to do? She said, well, I'm hungry. Let's go get something to eat. That's the timeline business. She was not giving up on it. She didn't care what she saw with her eye. She didn't care what the doctor said. She didn't. She said, no, he's not dead. I don't know what you're thinking about, but he's dead. Well, we got to take this body out of You ain't taking him nowhere. He ain't dead. She confessed that, and the man's sitting up there not breathing. And his heart wasn't pumping. It didn't mean he wasn't dead. Just meaning God was checking out his daughter. He said, check this out, boy. Check this out. Lord of God, look at this woman. She's done said her. We're going to go down there and help her. Watch this man come alive in the morning. See what them doctors think. Well, you can't leave now. You can't leave. He said, what's she telling? She said, you had your chance. Now it's God's turn. He does a better job than y'all do. We're going. Out the door they went. That's the timeline you got to look for. It's enduring in your faith to the end. Okay, Pat, go ahead.
You know, I was thinking, this is, you know, I think I've shared before about, you know, the Lord showing me, I guess, the specifics of the various jurisdictions on the earth, that sort of thing, basically, that this earth functions, you know, that the nations function under a constitutional or governmental jurisdiction. Yet there is a higher authority or a higher realm of jurisdiction over that, which is called law merchant in various other things. I'm not going to reiterate that. But even higher than that jurisdiction is the heavenly jurisdiction. That, and one of those, you know, one of those things that we constantly, I think, have to keep in mind is that, we have been translated, we've been delivered from this earthly jurisdiction and have been translated into the highest, the absolute highest jurisdiction in Jesus, over law merchant, over constitutional, over all of those jurisdictions that govern the earth, even the law of the that there's, I remember in there's those verses in Revelation where the Lord casts Satan down to the earth, and it, whatever jurisdiction he is functioning and operating in now, the Lord casts him down to the lowest jurisdiction, which is on the earth. And what that, you know, what that means is that we in operating in the Lord, listening to the Lord, following the Spirit, following his guidance, and learning to listen to his voice through this process, are free to function within any one of those jurisdictions at whatever time or what for whatever purpose it would be necessary. So I guess a practical seeing or a practical example of this jurisdiction scenario in our government. We have congressmen that we elect to go to run, operate, serve the government, And they have to give an oath to be, respect the constitution of our land, the constitution of our government, and uphold that, protect it, preserve it, and operate within the boundaries of that. Yet there are a large major group of those people that have been tempted and fallen for the temptation and have become bribed or coerced or corrupted to follow something other than being guided or limited by that constitution. They are in essence functioning in a higher jurisdiction because it is, they're functioning in the jurisdiction of law merchant, which is over the constitution, over governments. Now they have done it by deceit and corruption and sin, but nevertheless, they're functioning in that higher jurisdiction. And that is why when you have the processes and procedures of the government and you see hearings and you see certain, you know, people functioning in accordance to that jurisdiction and their questions or their reprimands or their threats or all this have no effect upon the hearer, the listeners, in those meetings. It has no effect because they're not bound. Those people that they're talking to are not bound by the same laws. They're not functioning in the same jurisdiction. Yet, and so the only way to overcome that is that you have to come in a, and function in a higher jurisdiction than that. You have, and all of this happens legally, even in the spirit realm, even in, you know, the devil has certain, allowances, or I would say rights, but he's been created to function in a certain way, and ordained by God to function in a certain way, and he does it according to laws. Yet those that function according to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus are functioning in a higher jurisdiction than that. And God is teaching us to function in that higher jurisdiction. All legally. It's all not by, it's by law, but it's by the law of the spirit, the law of the Lord. That being said, actually, I don't know where I was even going with that, but I guess the point being is that these timelines that we are speaking about, these pronouncement, confession of faith, and functioning in that law of faith, it is a law. These timelines that we're talking about function according to spiritual law. And they can't be changed. You know, we have to know how to function in them. And I think that's what the Lord is raising our awareness in this and to teach us these things. But I believe in so learning to navigate and function in the spirit in these areas, we can be as confident and comfortable because we're resting upon the fundamental
we're resting on law, set God's set word of law that does not change, and it applies in all the jurisdictions, all the way up the line to his feet. So anyway, I guess I'm probably rambling now, but I guess what I'm saying is that I believe this is where these timelines are plugging in. We're learning to function in this higher jurisdiction of the law of the Lord. And I think Enoch, in a sense, was a type of that. That he walked with the Lord. He spoke. He communicated. He walked. And you know, he was in agreement with the Lord. He was brought into a place where he understood these things, this jurisdiction, this walking in this. I bring up Enoch, but there's many, many more. But it is interesting that Enoch walked with God, and he pulled him out of this life and took him right to heaven without passing through the standard death process that we all go through. So, you know, how that fits in, I'm not sure with what I'm even saying. But anyway, I guess the thought is that this is an operation of the heavenly highest jurisdiction. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, you know, you brought up an interesting person. Is Enoch? He walked with God for how long? 365 years. Is that right? Yeah. And if he walked with God for 365 years, he was on the right timeline, wasn't he? Not only that, he was on the right timeline. He spoke quantum faith wherever he went. So quantum faith in the timeline works the same, basically. If you understand quantum faith, you can understand the timeline. Yeah, Pat?
Sorry, Missy, I just wanted to jump in there with what Michael said there, because I was thinking about that. David mentioned something about Enoch, and he was talking about that book from Noah Hutchins that you know, Enoch built the pyramids, and that they can't be reconstructed even by the greatest minds and engineering processes of the day. And I believe that is because Enoch did not build that pyramid. Enoch listened to God, obeyed God, and commanded the angels, and the angels set those blocks into place and built that. I believe Enoch was functioning in that relationship with God and the angelic force in that way, which is part of this, I believe, this whole program that God is bringing forth sons out of the earth to function and walk with him in the same capacity. Anyway, sorry, Missy.
Yeah, we can get into that a little bit later, but go ahead, Missy. There's some things in Enoch that are just fascinating. Go ahead, Missy. I'm sorry.
I'd like to read a piece of the Bible study from last night.
What page?
Oh, gosh. There's no such thing as a page.
What are you going to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to read this one section and tell you what I see, what I understand,
okay,
what I believe the Lord's showing me. I think it's towards the end. I don't know. He says these particles, he's talking about subatomic particles, are not really particles because they exist only in a state of possibilities until someone observes them, at which point they appear as a particle. If that sounds crazy, read Hebrews 11:1. Now that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How I understand that is not seen physically. Okay. When you hope for something, where does it exist? Only in your mind and heart. It is only a possibility. And what I understand him to be saying is you see it in your imagination.
As you completed. See,
right. As done. You received it. You imagine it in your imagination that it's done. It's yours. You've gotten your answer to whatever it is. And then he goes on Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear, so that what is being observed has not come out of what is appearing, what is visible. This is a statement that could have been made by a physicist. What makes it appear? You, the observer, with faith that gives substance to your hopes and dreams. Faith observes that which is not and gives its substance so that it may appear and become visible. The key to manifesting matter is to interact with that which is not, so that it becomes what you hope for. And, you know, the Lord says a lot of places, how do you say that? To him who has, about having eyes to see and ears to hear. That's spiritual. I take that what he said there is having eyes to see, spiritual eyes, your imagination. That's your spiritual seeing. That's your spiritual believing. It's your imagination. That's how I see it. That it's my spiritual eyes. Having eyes to see and ears to hear. It's not my physical eyes and ears. But it's your spiritual.
Why don't we go ahead and read that last paragraph, Melissa?
Okay. Your expectations and beliefs, or what you observe, is of primary importance. If you observe and expect failure, sickness and disaster, that is exactly what will manifest. There are an infinite number of possibilities that exist for your life. You alone have the power to choose which possibility becomes reality in your life. Choose wisely. And how I see that is your imagination. You know, vain, what comes to me is vain imaginations. Cast down every reasoning and imagination that is exalted against knowledge of God. I see that as it's contrary to God's word, you know? I mean, what I imagine in my mind, if it's contrary to God's word and I don't correct my mind, I'm going to get what I'm imagining, because eventually what's in my thoughts, if I don't correct that, it's going to come out of my mouth.
So are you going to be affected by what you see with your eyes and hear with the ears?
Nope. Not according to my senses.
Yep.
What is that? What came to me was what Job said. That which I fear has come upon me. Because if I don't correct that fear, and I don't cast that fear down, it's gonna come upon me.
You have to cast down all doubt and unbelief. Everything that you prayed for has to be confessed out of your mouth all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what keeping you in a timeline does, is confessing it.
Mm-hmm.
And believing it.
And not
going back on it.
Right. And not speaking what I see. Lord, yep. Help us not to speak what we see.
Yep.
If that's not what we're believing for, help us bridle our tongues, Lord. Help us not to speak it.
That's why he tells us to speak only as an oracle of God.
Exactly. If I speak my lack, or I speak what I'm seeing that's contrary to what I'm believing for, then it's like I have to start all over.
Yeah.
I can repent. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. I can repent. It's changed my mind, you know. And Lord.
Pick up right where you left off.
Yeah. So it's like, Lord, help us. Help us to imagine. Give us a strong imagination. I see that as such a major, major key.
That is the key to walking in the Spirit. That is a big key to walking in the Spirit right there. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, I was just going to add what Missy was saying. It's like, it's just God maturing us in our faith.
Yeah.
It is, you know. You know, have any of you ever asked, Lord, I want more faith. Give me more faith. Yeah. Okay. Hold on.
Go ahead, Missy.
I just wanted to say quick, I've been asking the Lord lately. I see it as faith because of what I just said earlier, but Lord, help me to imagine. Help me to imagine what I'm believing for. Help me, give me a great imagination. Even put in my mind, because I remember David saying, you know, like he'll have a conversation with the Lord and then ask a question, but he knows it's the Lord that put it in his mind, you know? So.
Yeah, he gives him the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gosh, we'll use you in mighty ways if you keep doing that. We keep confessing what you've been praying for. It's just faith. Quantum, it all sounds real cool to say quantum faith and timeline stuff, but it's all faith. And we're learning what faith is. It's all it's just not just one aspect of faith. You can't put God in the box. I never heard nobody talk about no timeline, going from one timeline to the, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Well, you ought to pick up the Word of God. Let God use your mind to show you these things. The timeline where we got it, we hooked onto it, was when we were working with the missionaries. That's how we learned it. We saw two different timelines working at the same time. and we started ignoring the one that was on the wrong timeline, went away. Hadn't heard from him since. It's the good timeline. The good timeline that we would acknowledge. And when we acknowledged that, they were, man, they were just going to town. Still are. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I was just thinking what I learned, well, what I studied yesterday as well with quantum faith is when you're born into the kingdom, you're a citizen of God. Now, in other words, you're on a different timeline. In other words, if you go to see, if you walk after what you've seen, you're still going out of what you believe in. Your heavenly realm is where God lives, where God is king, and Jesus lives now in us, and he works through us. But now we have to believe in, well, you're walking in a kingdom principles where God is king. In other words, you see with your spiritual eyes the whole time. If you're going to your physical eyes, if you ever change or doubt, then you're going back to where you was. And that's not God where you are, because you have to, the history, we already know what we have to know because we be living in internal now. Now you don't have it tomorrow. It's like God doesn't live in tomorrow. He's only living in a timeline. So that we have to live in, if I'm saying it right, you have to live in now. And now is not when it's going to happen, when what you see with your eyes is what you see with your spiritual eyes. It's what the word says you're working in. I hope it makes sense now, what I tried to say. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
There was something that Joe said there that triggered me, but there was also something you said, Michael, too, that I was thinking about, you know, like the missionaries, you know, you said the two timelines there. And what I saw was, okay, and you kind of said this earlier, one's the flesh and one's the spirit man, one's the old man and one's the, and then what the Lord showed me was it's like straddling the fence, having one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, because the old man, the flesh, is in the world, which is all the physical things that's just temporal, that's moth, rust, and whatever, you know, it corrupts. And one is eternal, you know, without time. Yeah, I was like, wow, you know, I mean, there's so many different ways you can see this, so many different things you can see how the scriptures, you know, apply to this, or how you apply the scriptures to this, however you want to say it. But yeah, that just, it's like the more the different ways that I see how this applies, the easier it is to actually apply it, you know, to walk in.
Do you know where quantum faith and timeline starts in the Bible? Genesis 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it don't end from cover to cover. I had somebody send me today, I believe it was Ezekiel 37. And they took the words in there and found the definition for them, and it all worked out into timeline and quantum faith. but they had looked up some of these words, and it was just amazing. You'd had to see it. And I bet you you can go through the Bible and it'll be all through the Bible, because that's what the Bible is. It's a book of the spiritual. And that's where he wants us to walk in, is in the spirit. So when you walk in the spirit realm, God's spirit realm, you're not going to fail. You're not going to fail. You're going to walk like Enoch, right?
Yeah, and another thing that I thought of that came to me that I didn't say is once you said finally, you know, with the missionaries, finally you didn't hear from the those that are on the bad timeline. That's because they finally battled, won the war against the flesh, and they're totally in the kingdom. And totally in faith, and not being double minded, going back and forth.
Oh, I think you missed it. It was what? A test with David, I, and Kathleen, and Brandon, to see if we were going to answer the bad timeline.
Right.
We were. You know, well, you had to be in there, but. There was a lot of, what do we do? You know, my goodness, we got one over here saying everything's fine. It's over here. We didn't understand timeline until we got the revelation.
Right.
And once we got the revelation of the timeline, it was over. It was over for the old man.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if when I finally do that warfare and believe God's word, against everything that I'm seeing, then, and at least in that aspect, I'm in the kingdom and I'm no longer straddling the fence and going back and forth, being double-minded.
Yeah. Once you pray that you've been healed, once you pray that you've been delivered, once you pray that whatever it is, then you stand on that. Stand on, why? Because Christ is in you. Go ahead, Andrew. I guess it's Andrew. Go ahead.
I was just going to say an eternal word or an eternal life. You know, there's a bad word, and then there's a good word. So we want the good. You know, because around that word, and I remember when I studied this, there's a name. But if it's the word that's not God's word, then it's a different name. And if there's a word that's the mark, which I think is charisma, if it's not the real mark of God's word, then you got a different mark. And there's an image. We all know about image. There's the image from God's word, and then there's the image from the other word. Both will end up in an eternity. So, I don't want to scare anybody, but that kind of is the timeline we want to step into is according to the Word of God. So, no, and that's even like what it says, death and life are in the power of God. And another factor you have to take into account here is the tempter. Okay. You got to get rid of him, so because he wants to put you on his timeline. So that is a whole another discussion. But I don't like talking about him.
Well, here's what we did. We quit talking to the bad timeline. You quit talking to the bad timeline and acknowledging the bad timeline. It goes away. It goes away, and you stay on the right timeline. And you get your faith is fulfilled. All right, well, looks like we're out of time. Again, on this same subject. Do y'all want to continue with this, or do you want to? Okay. Well, then let's do it until everybody gets pretty sure in their mind what it is. It's a fun thing to find out that quantum faith, timeline, And faith is all the same. Same thing. Yeah, Judy.
Well, what you just said is, you know, like not ignoring the bad timeline, ignoring those, you know, text messages, phone calls, whatever, the bad timeline. But, you know, it's ignoring any physical symptoms you may have that are contrary to what God says that you are. You ignore how you physically feel or what you physically see or, you know, that now we have to see that serpent on the pole, Jesus, and see Christ in the mirror, 100-fold. We just keep seeing, you know, only what God says and ignoring everything else and just praising God for it, you know, and that's a sacrifice of praise, right? In when you're suffering, when you're going through something and it's so contrary, you got to thank and praise God so that that will, that's speaking your faith. That's thanking God and praising him and believing him, which, you know, conquers the old man and conquers the symptoms and they get smaller, smaller, smaller. You know, as David said in that teaching, you know, that, that giant, the old man, praise the Lord.
Okay, Missy. You got 30 seconds. We're out of time. We're out of time.
What comes to me, it goes with what Julia is saying. You know, once we like come against the enemy about something, like a physical symptom or whatever, pain or whatever, that's done. Now you just praise and thank the Lord for it because our, you know, our praises, I realize that my praises are more effective, than anything than if I keep telling the enemy what to do and to go from me, that's like, I didn't even believe, it's like, I didn't believe the first time I told him that I had that authority. It's, you know, that makes sense. So.
All right, we can continue this next Tuesday if Lord willing, if there's not things happening, like 10 days of darkness or anything like that. We'll see. Lord, we thank you for another wonderful evening, speaking and talking the word of God. And we just praise you. I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody with revelation knowledge into what the whole aspect of faith is. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us all a good night's sleep. It needs it. Those who are going to be up for the day, Lord, bless them with energy and supernatural power. In Jesus' name. All right, y'all be blessed to him.